You are listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Welcome to Book Lovers Cafe. Book Lovers Cafe is a program of author interviews and book reviews from around the sound and beyond. I'm your host, Chris Wilson. So today we are going to be talking to Kate McDermott. She lives right here on the Olympic Peninsula, but she is known nationally now for The Art of the Pie. And so this book was written in, it was published in 2015, and now she's published another book called Home Cooking. Welcome, Kate. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. It's a delight to be here.
So, one of your reviewers said, reading these books is like meeting a warm, generous spirit. It's like pulling up a chair and learning to cook at Kate's elbow. And I have to agree. I just felt by the time I'd read through these two cookbooks that I had a new friend. And I think I might be one of those people that stops by Pie Cottage one day to say hello. And I might bring a pie of my own.
Well, that would be wonderful. I look forward to having you.
So I'm going to talk first a little bit about home cooking. And the first words in the book are, you can do this. Why did you decide to start your book out that way?
It's a very simple answer. There are so many cookbooks that are incredibly inspiring with beautiful photography and recipes that are just wonderful, and you look at the instructions on them, and sometimes you feel, oh my gosh, I can't do all of this, and the ingredient list is long and sometimes exotic. I enjoy eating those things, but in my daily life, that's not how I cook. I cook very simply. It's food that has nourished my family and friends for decades, and doesn't require anything too much out of the ordinary. If it's on your shelf in your refrigerator now, you can probably make just about everything in home cooking.
I agree with that, and I have a sympathy for those kinds of cookbooks that I love to have on my shelves but have very rarely cooked anything out of. So this book, Home Cooking, not only, and I do want to say, the photography is fabulous. I mean, they are inspiring pictures, and it's beautiful food as well. But you also have lots of hints for beginning cooks and things that people who have been cooking for 50 years may have forgotten or never heard of. So thanks for that.
Oh, you're so welcome.
why did you decide to put those in?
I think easily, as you say, sometimes we forget things or sometimes we haven't learned things. One of the reasons that I wanted to have all of these in here is especially for the generation that does not feel as confident in the kitchen. Perhaps they have not had someone that they cooked with. I love the old days when home economics was in our school systems. I would love to see that come back for everyone to be able to learn how to cook. So many of these are just tips and tricks that can help us along the way.
Mm-hmm. And some people have grown up in homes where the microwave was the main source of their food. So even though they may want to, have food that is real food and that is cooked in an oven, they may not know how to start. So this is a book that really helps with that. And also, you give sort of free invitations to experiment and, change things up if you don't have something.
Yes, a recipe is merely a starting point. I do suggest that when you are making any new recipe, that you make it the first time as it is written and using the times that are specified in the recipe. And then feel free to change it. A recipe is always wonderful with additions, with subtractions, with I'm going to do it this way instead of that way. You never know what you're going to turn up with.
There's something else about the way you set this book up, and there's storytelling sections. So this book is kind of like part memoir and part personal history. Why did you decide to put the storytelling elements into it?
That is something that just is the way that I write. Art of the Pie, I started telling stories in that, and it was a stretch for my publisher to do a cookbook that was so personal, that had stories in it like Art of the Pie does. And then they it's done well. And so when it came time for a second book, they said, you know, just continue on. We love these stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was Art of the Pie that really got you out into the broader world, out of the Olympic Peninsula and even past Seattle. So would you like to tell us, because you're not a pie seller, you're a pie maker. How did this all begin for you? Let's go back to the kitchen of your youth. And why did pie and cooking have such a hold on you?
I have always been a home cook and a home baker, starting at a very early age. I had really wonderful mentors surrounding me. My grandmother was a home cook. She grew up on an Iowa farm and used no recipes, but was very happy to show me. I would follow her around to see what she was doing. The lady next door, Sadie Flynn, she taught me to bake without measuring equipment, with just a coffee cup, not a mug, but a coffee cup from the shelf above the counter, and a spoon from the drawer below. And so I was always the one who was making and baking and bringing stuff to school. Mm-hmm. Then I continued on. And now we'll jump way, way, way up to about 2008, and I was I had been making a lot of pies, and I was asked if some folks could come over and I would show them how to make pie, and I said sure. So that the first class that I ever taught, I was in Seattle at the time, kind of going back and forth over there, and the first class at that time, very informal, was two food writers and a chef, and that at the end of that session, they said, we had such a good time. We learned how to do this. We really feel like we can make pie easily and confidently. You should be teaching this. So I put up a rudimentary website and stood back. And this has developed into something that was beyond my wildest dreams.
Mm-hmm. So you have three rules of life that also have to do with pie making. Can you tell us about those?
I do. So the first is to keep everything chilled, especially yourself. Now, that includes not only our fats that we put into our pie doughs, but also our hands, our environment, and certainly our attitude. This is not rocket science. It's just pie. And just keep practicing, and you'll probably roll out one or two along the way that you'll say, how did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And smile. The second rule is to keep your boundaries. And on a pie, that means to not have the dough go over the edge so far that it burns on the side, but more importantly, it will burn underneath where we can't see it, which sometimes happens in life. So to keep your boundaries is rule number two. And rule number three is to vent. And I think pie is a wonderful way to do venting in a very, very positive way.
But don't pummel your pie when you're venting, right?
No.
I'll tell you one thing I learned and I was having trouble with, and I never had trouble with this before, is my pie crust when I was blind baking. Even though I put my beans in, it would just slump down the sides of my pan. And You have a tip for that, to avoid that crust meltdown into the bottom of, you know, so everything slides over even though you put it in looking beautiful. So.
Right. One of the things you can do is to freeze your pie crust once it's into the pan. A frozen pie crust will shrink less Mm-hmm. And then to make sure that when you are filling your pie shell, the unbaked pie shell, with your pie weights, that you do fill them up all the way to the top. And it really, for a 9-inch pie pan, it takes about a pound and a half of weight to go in. And now, don't be like me, though, Chris. Don't put them directly onto the dough. The first time, that's what I did. And then I had to pick off beans because that's what I used for my
No, I just thought I could get away with a few less weights. And I also didn't realize, even though my crust was chilled, I don't think once I'd rolled it out that I chilled it again. And so that's my takeaway from that. So was this all going on in Pie Cottage? Can you tell us about how Pie Cottage came to be?
Well, I've had a home on the Olympic Peninsula since 1985. And my current home that I live in, I moved here 20 years ago in 1999. It was August of 1999, a little house. And over the years, I've knocked out walls and put in windows and, you know, just kind of painted and made it very personal. And it's after I stopped teaching as much as I was doing nationally and in Seattle, I decided, well, let me see if people will come all the way out here. And so I put up some classes and called it Pie Cottage. And the first classes filled really quickly with people from across the country. And that is still the case. Now, years later, people come from all over the country and actually all over the world here to my little house in Port Angeles. Mm-hmm. And we make pie at Pie Cottage.
Okay, that sounds great. And you're going to be making pie in Port Townsend, too. This show is going to air several times, so we won't talk about the date. But keep an eye out for one of these pie camps. And you know, they should be lots of fun, and they take place all over the place. And you have a website, don't you, Kate?
So, yes, I do. My website is artofthepie.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so artofthepie.com. You're listening to Book Lovers Cafe, and today I'm talking to Kate McDermott. She is a master pie maker and home cooker, and she's got two beautiful cookbooks. One's called Art of the Pie, A Practical Guide to Homemade Crusts, Fillings, and Life, and also Home Cooking with Kate McDermott. And I have to mention the photographer, Andrew Scrivani. How did I do on that pronunciation?
Pretty darn well.
And how did you run into Andrew and he became your photographer, your food stylist, so to speak?
Well, actually, I'm the food stylist and on the books. Okay. Every picture that you see in the books, those are the pies and all of the food in home cooking. Those are all made with my hands. So I actually get the food stylist credit. I don't get the photo stylist credit. Mm-hmm. So I met Andrew a number of years back when I was working for Taylor Shellfish Farms. And I, I've worn a number of hats in my life as far as things that I've done. And I was doing social media and their website along with some special events. And I heard about this New York photographer that was coming to do a workshop in Seattle. And I contacted the organizer of it and asked if they would like to have some oysters at that for the photographers to work with. And that was an affirmative. And then I also brought a gooey duck and I brought some pies.
Great.
And Andrew and I became very fast friends after that. And then we would see each other at food conferences. When it came time for the photography work for the book, I asked him if he would be interested in being involved. And he absolutely said yes. He did my second book. And I am leaving for New York on November 3rd for work of the second week of a photo shoot for book 3.
Okay, now I'm just so curious. So are you making everything in New York and then in a studio, so to speak, and then Andrew's doing the photography? Is it sort of a big marathon? How does that all that?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
In a word, yes. So in home cooking and in Art of the Pie, Andrew came out for a week for each of those books. And then I went back for a week in New York, and I actually sleep in his studio. Mm-hmm. And I'm cooking and baking from, I'm up at 7, I'm in the kitchen at 8, they arrive at 10, we shoot all day, we clean up, I go get some dinner, I sleep, I get up at 7, I'm in the kitchen at 8, and this goes on for, 5 days.
Oh my goodness. Straight. Well, congratulations. It certainly has proven to be a wonderful effort. So also, I read that you think that music is essential to pie making, pie baking, and also home cooking. Can you talk about the kinds of music that work best for you?
Well, I can give you, a list that is certainly not complete of some of the essentials that I love to cook and bake by.
Okay.
So that would include people like Hildegard von Bingen, mm-hmm. J.S. Bach, Gustav Mahler, Aaron Copland, Joni Mitchell, James Taylor, Van Morrison, Annie Lennox, Coyote Oldman, Oscar Piazzolla, Eva Cassidy, Jane Monheit, Diva Pramal, Adele, and Aretha.
Oh, fabulous. I think that would make a great playlist for one of our hosts here at KPTZ. And so many of those names we do play right here at KPTZ on so many of our shows. So you should try to tune in sometime, 91.9, or listen online at kptz.org for some.
I listen to you quite often.
Okay, great. That's the wonderful news. So you also have some recipes for gluten-free pies and other recipes. A lot of people struggle with this, especially with tender doughs and things of that nature. Baking. How did you come upon and developing these recipes for this kind of dough?
I myself have celiac disease, so I found that out in 2006, well after I had created the majority of the recipes that I teach and that I write about in Art of Pie. So when I found that out, I was like, well, okay, what am I going to do now? And I started experimenting with flours and ratios and how to hold it together with gluten-free flours. I didn't particularly want to use the gums. So it was a long process. It took many, many months. And when I finally got it to a point where people said, this is a really good dough, and not, oh, for a good gluten-free dough, this is really good. Mm-hmm. But it was just, this is really good. And in my next book that will be coming out in the fall of 2020, I have three more gluten-free doughs that will be in that one, that I'm happy with all of them.
That's wonderful, because I know that, people think that they're giving up something and, they need to experiment more and not just buy something off the shelf, so to speak. So thank you so much for that work.
I'll tell you a quick story about that, too, that was just recently. I took four pies to the North Olympic Salmon Coalition, who I love their work, their recent potluck, and they were all gluten-free pies, and no one knew, and they all came up and said, this is really good, and they were all gluten-free.
Well, perfect. Yes, our friends, North Olympic Salmon Coalition. So you also have pie camps. How do you make a pie in a camp? I'm just joking. I know, though, that you've baked pies in very strange environments and situations. But tell us a little bit about Pie Camp.
Pie Camp is think of it as summer camp for the rest of us who, maybe as adults, we want to continue having experiences where we join together with other people from all sorts of different places, and we do things together. And Pie Camp is exactly that. I have single-day pie camps that my son Duncan teaches, and I also do the multi-day pie camps. These happen, I think I did 6 of those this year out of a total of 28 events, and six of them were the multi-day pie camps. People join me on the afternoon. We have dinner, we have wine, we have cheese, we have dinner, we have pie, and then we start baking the very next morning, and we bake for 3 days straight. Then we touch upon as many things as possible, blind baking, gluten-free, cream pies, custard pies, how to make meringues, fruit pies. We try and do as many things as possible so that when you go home, you can feel, I've really had a great pie experience.
And eaten a lot of pie, I bet, too. Right?
there's all, yes, we do eat what we eat. But we also have a practice of giving. So there's also, if there's extra, try and find places where it might be nice for that to go. And perhaps the radio station would be one of them.
Well, we are going to have, we have fun drives and we provide food. And a lot of that food is home baked by, you know, people, our friends and also our hosts. So there's an event that happened in your life with a famous chef or a person who's a cookbook writer, and that's Ruth Reichel. Can you tell us about how you ended up baking with Ruth Reichel?
I was very fortunate to bake with her. We made pie together, and that was, I think that whatever the year was, 2006, 2008, somewhere around there. And it was when she was in Seattle for a filming for a series, a food series. And I was, I got a call that the production company and Ruth would love to make pie with me. And I said, sure. So then I needed a particular kitchen that would look good. And every time I had a couple kitchens in mind, I went over to do test pies in one of them that I settled on. And I swear to goodness that my eye had failure after failure after failure in these beautiful ovens. And finally, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is never, ever going to happen. So I went to a friend's house who had this great vintage kitchen and this vintage stove and asked if I could film over there. They said, yes, the film company came. They loved it. Ruth came. Everybody loved it. And we had the best time baking together. And Ruth has become a friend. I actually knew her before that, and she's become more of a friend even after that. And then after at the end of this entire thing, I think I baked, 17 pies or something like that, between all those that were the failures in the oven that I was having the issue with and the ones that actually were beautifully baked in this old, you know, 1940s oven that keeps going. Mm-hmm. I realized when I pulled those last pies out of the oven, which were already cool, that really all you had to do was have the prop pie made and then pull it out of the oven as if, voila, I've just made this. I could have made one or two. It would have been fine.
Of course, of course. But, you know, you're the real thing, Kate. So, you know, why not be the real thing with Ruth, too? Because she seems to be a pretty authentic person as well. So
She is a wonderful woman.
I can't let you go without asking you about your favorite pie and why this is your favorite.
Hands down, my favorite pie is peach. Mm-hmm. And I love a peach pie that is made at the peak of its flavor in the summertime. There is something about an exquisitely grown peach that is full of sugar that is just, you take a bite into it. And you have to have that posture where you lean over, you take the bite, and you kind of have to slurp the juice in because it's dripping down your chin. And it's the peach when that happens that you say, oh, my God, that's the kind of peach pie that I like to make. And even if I can only make one a year with peaches that are of pie-worthy quality, that's the pie that I want.
I like the way you say you need to have peaches of pie-worthy quality, because that is so true. So you have a blog as well. And so if people want to get to know you and ask you questions and interact with you, that's the way. So tell us a little bit about the blog.
Been blogging since, I think, 2009, so that's been 10 years, and the blog has been nominated for some awards, which is always very gratifying. And it's really, I just sort of write about whatever I feel like writing. It's not always about pie, although there are many posts up there over the 10 years about pie. There's blogs about entries about my life or music or my family or my dog.
Or a book you read recently.
Or books that I have read, uh-huh, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's like a conversation with a friend. And so there's a little bit of cooking, but there's a little bit of everything else that might interest a lively person here on the Olympic Peninsula or anywhere else. And recently, you just posted about cider pressing.
I did. We have an annual cider pressing at Pie Cottage. This is the fourth year, and friends come, family is here, and this year we bust through dramatically our record of 90 gallons, which was what we had had before, to well over 130 gallons on Saturday.
Oh my goodness. So where did all this fresh pressed cider go?
People bring along with their apples to be pressed. They bring containers. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the, you bring yourself, you bring your apples, a container, something you share at a potluck, and a smile.
Oh, potlucks. And also, you have some great ideas for having a pie potluck, which I am determined to have in the next few months. So take a look at Art of the Pie. And there's so much more than pie in this wonderful book. And thank you so much, Kate, for joining us today here at Book Lovers Cafe. And I hope to meet you soon.
Thank you so much, Chris. I've really appreciated you taking the time to speak with me today. And for everybody who's listening today, be happy. Make pie.
Okay. You have been listening to Book Lovers Cafe, a program for everyone who hasn't read everything. Today, we talked to Kate McDermott. She's the author of Art of the Pie, a practical guide to homemade crust, fillings, and life, and Home Cooking with Kate McDermott. If you joined us halfway through, you can listen on our podcast page on the website, kptz.org. And while you're there, think about making a donation to the station as well. Thank you to Alex, our engineer today. Carl Allen is the editor who smooths out all the rough edges. And thanks to all the volunteers and supporters who make this wonderful radio station possible. See you soon. Thank you.